Third down and 12, Bills from their 23-yard line. Three receivers to the right side with Allen after motion. On third and long, Allen gets the snap. Allen with a little time. Watt trips him up for a sack. His seventh of the year.
That was one of J.J.'s better sacks this past season against Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. J.J. will join us coming up at 7:45 this morning.
I've decided that I'm not going to, for the seventh year in a row, underestimate how many sacks J.J. Watt is going to have if he's healthy for the entire year. What's your over-under on J.J. Watt's sacks this year? And mind you that he might be listening because he's going to be on the show in 45 minutes.
My over-under is going to be, I think, 10 or 11.
Whoa! Great. Way to put J.J. in a grumpy mood when he comes on the show.
Is that low?
It's extremely low. Mike, the last time he had fewer than 10 sacks... The last time he had fewer than 10 sacks in a year in which he was healthy was 2011, his rookie year. He's had more than 10 sacks every year except for 2016 and 2017 when he didn't play. So he had 16 sacks last year. You're going to put him at 11 sacks?
I'll put him at 12 and a half.
The only thing I worry about is just staying healthy.
Yeah.
Just based on what happened in 2016 and 2017. Now, the Texans play a lot of teams that are going to pass the ball, and I think they'll be in a bunch of shootouts, which should lead to more opportunities for sacks as compared to, let's say, even, you know, the 9-game winning streak. I know you're leading in a bunch of those games, but the Texans were trying to run the ball so often during that window.
They were doing a good job of grinding the clock down.
Yes.
Not having as many opportunities.
They will not be able to do that as much in 2019.
The question would be, is the secondary improved? Because if the secondary is improved, it's more opportunities for sacks, too.
Yes.
So I don't know at this point. It's going to take the draft, and it's going to also maybe take, hopefully, Aaron Colvin was just banged up last year, and it'll be an improved secondary this year. I would say, conservative, I'm always wrong on this, because it's like it doesn't make sense that J.J. would be able to have 16 sacks last year coming off of two straight years of awful injuries. I'm going to say, conservatively, 15. And okay. I bet he gets 20. But I gamble 15.
All right, Seth goes with 15, and I go with 11. Paul goes with 12.5.
Yeah.
To recap what happened in August when we made our predictions for 2018, Paul and I both had J.J. getting 8 sacks. Seth had the highest with, like, 12.
That's right.
And, Seth, you ended up obviously getting closest.
I was probably, like, the highest, and that wasn't even me trying to – it was all based on health. I think I only dialed it down to 12 because I had to account for, okay, he's probably going to either take a while to get going or he's going to be injured at least a few games because he just had, like, 18 surgeries. So the fact that he stayed healthy for 16 games put him right where I probably would have thought he'd be.
My one goal with this interview at 7:45 with J.J. is to avoid what happened 3 years ago when I asked him about hating Zach Mettenberger.
Yeah.
And then it was awkward, and then I got crushed on Twitter, and then I suppressed my anger, and then I took it out on some guy who we interviewed from Denver.
Like, oh, that's right. Yeah, you flipped out on that guy.
Like, 20 minutes later, we had a guy on from Denver. I had suppressed my anger, and I just, like, lambasted this guy.
Yeah,
and it was all because of the frustration I was having internally over the criticism I was getting for the J.J. questions.
Yeah, you gotta let that go. When you interview people, you're going to ask some stupid questions. Sometimes the stupidest questions are the best questions because they lead to... They kind of disrupt the rhythm of things in enough of a way that it leads to, like, either a better question or a better response or whatever. Yeah, you got to embrace the bad questions.
Well, whenever things are uncomfortable in radio, people are like, oh, my God, that was awkward and uncomfortable. Well, that's actually a good thing.
Yeah.
Because usually people are not going to turn off uncomfortable and awkward.
Yeah, you guys think Mike sucks on accident. He's sucking on purpose
sometimes.
A lot of the time. Yeah.
Sometimes. But here's the thing, though. Sometimes when I think about the criticism over that interview, I'll just be like walking around, I'll still get angry. And I have no idea why.
I haven't thought about it in forever. I thought it was funny.
I know.
You did. You asked, do you hate Zach Mettenberger?
That's the first
question.
Because
you guys remember when J.J. had that moment in the Titans game where he took a selfie of himself as a celebration. It was because Zach Mettenberger had a weird selfie before the game. And there was way more conversation about it than there should have been, like by anybody and on both sides involved. So Mike was just kind of going to ask it lightheartedly. You meant it lightheartedly. Sometimes it's hard for you to sell lighthearted.
Yes.
And especially when it's the first question. It was like, hey, JJ, welcome in. Nice to have you on. Do you hate Zach Mettenberger? And he's like, whoa, no, fella.
Where did this come from?
Ease off a little, big little fella. Yeah.
Now, JJ and his teammates will be wearing new uniforms. I don't know if you guys have seen this, but check out the Texans official Twitter feed. Mike, Seth, and Paul. And I get the clear sense this morning that my co-hosts are not happy with this, particularly Paul Gallant, who is the uniform expert on this show, it's, on Mad Radio.
It's not a change.
Wait, hold on a second. Before we start this, don't summarize my feelings about like it's not okay. That I'm unhappy about it.
You should be.
I was, if anything, I was trying to defend it earlier on.
You tried
but go
to
ahead.
Defend
Paul,
it.
Paul was indignant about it.
They didn't change it. There's a patch on the back of the jersey. Neat. I could do that myself. I could go to Fanatics.com, order a Texans patch for probably $7.99, because that's what the Astros championship patch cost to put on the side of one of the shirts that I have, and I could sew it onto the back of a theoretical Texans jersey that I own. That's the change. And they're going to be selling these jerseys at wholesale prices to people that are likely going to buy them. Honestly, I think it's slightly disingenuous to sell that to a consumer when there's no change.
There's no change. There's a change.
There's a patch on the back.
It's an elegant ode to something. It's kind of small. It's a
Texans logo right above the lettering of the player's name on the back.
Right above the X. So it looks like the X is wearing a hat. Yes. Or it looks like the X is wearing... a Texans logo for a Halloween costume. It almost looks like, if you watch Game of Thrones, it looks like the flayed man is wearing like a severed bull's head on the back of the jersey. So like that's what you got going there.
The flayed man.
I think the one thing with upside here would be if the Texans do something special this year, then it becomes almost retroactively like, hey, that's a classy change to the uniform in a year that they either went to the championship game or went to the Super Bowl or something like that. That's what I'm going to hold out for. I'll reserve judgment until I see how the Texans perform this year. Other than that, this is like as small a change as you could make to placate the people without actually making a real change at all. And you can't change the uniform again now for 5 years. As far, I don't know if
farce.
Now, you're not allowed to change like the primary colors and all this stuff, so they might actually be able to make another change more than this.
I don't know.
This might just be a little like putting a patch on your uniform.
I don't know, because when the Los Angeles Rams moved to Los Angeles, their uniform change was changing the lettering to say Los Angeles, and I think they thought they were going to be able to change the jerseys in a couple of years, and the NFL was like, nah, you got to wait. You got to wait a little bit.
Now, you can't make a drastic change like that. There are so many small things that you could do that are 400 times more powerful than this. Like your wife wearing a different colored lipstick would be like 500 times more powerful.
Change?
Yeah, because that makes me horny. Nothing about this uniform change makes me horny.
Wearing an untucked shirt as opposed to a traditional button-down shirt untucked with jeans, that would be an upgrade in your style. It's a slight one, but it's an upgrade.
That's true. Somebody suggested like changing the refrigerator on your magnet, or a magnet on your refrigerator would be maybe
changing
more impactful.
Changing the refrigerator is a big change.
Changing the refrigerator magnet would be a huge change compared to this uniform change.
Well, what puzzles me about this uniform change the Texans have, Mike, Seth, and Paul, on a Tuesday, J.J. Watt will join us at 7:45 this morning, is from a fan standpoint, nobody's going to actually be pulled to buy a new jersey because of this minor change, right?
Oh, some people will.
Because the Jets had a massive uniform change 2 weeks ago. Maybe it was awful, maybe it was good, maybe it was somewhere in between. We'll see. But at least those fans, they'll feel like, hey, to stay up to date, I've got to buy the new uniform. If you're a Texans fan, which I'm imagining the vast majority of our audience is, there's no real need, if you don't want to buy a new jersey, right?
No, I don't think so. Other than, I mean, it's updated. It's like anything else, like a small change or a small tweak on a classic automobile design is like, oh, okay. For the real aficionados, that's like, oh, wow, that's a big deal. But I didn't get the sense, if I'm going to go strictly by social media, which, like, let's be honest, is a cold and cynical place, even people that I know that are diehard Texans fans were very meh about this. So I don't think there were a lot of people all worked up about it.
You know, the worst part about it is the video that they did on their Twitter. And I got to give the Texans Twitter a lot of credit, because it was just a week ago where they released the schedule and they had the Game of Thrones montage, and it was really cool. But, I mean, when you're putting out a video that is essentially akin to listening to Jim Nantz, like, talk about the Masters. Hello, friends. You know, one of the things that I've always come to appreciate as someone who's watched the Houston Texans is, well, that bull on the side of the helmet. Got a star for an eye and a couple of horns as well. And you know, we need to have it. Not only on the side of our heads, in our minds, but also in our hearts. And technically, you know, like right above, you know, like the fourth or fifth vertebrae in our back. Because that, my friends, is what symbolizes a championship caliber team. A team that's got a logo on its back, in addition to on the sides of the helmet. They were so sanctimonious about how they released it. It's like, calm down, guys. It's a pat on the back of the jersey.
The only thing that's making you mad is the actual release. Like, the fact that they publicized the change or made it a big deal, where it was just like, okay, this is a pretty small change. It'd be kind of a cool tweet. It'd almost get more positive press if they did it unannounced. Like, oh, okay, that's a cool little tweak versus, like, making it seem like this is the big deal. Frankly, the horse is out of the barn. People over at the Texans do not like talk about Oilers blue.
They don't.
Like, they do not like it. They think it's the dumbest thing in the world. Some of them do. I'm not saying it's unanimous. But, man, once people have seen a couple of those mock-ups of Texans in Columbia blue,
they love it.
It's like you can't go back from that. Like, psychologically, you're like, oh, that is a damn fine uniform.
Once you see it.
Yeah, so, like, in people's minds, they hear uniform change. They're like, oh, crap, I want to see some of that Columbia blue with a chrome helmet or something, and it's not going to happen. I don't know why. I honestly don't know why. I've had conversations with people over there, and, like, in the moment – it kind of makes sense, and I'll nod and be like, oh, okay, I get it. But then I leave the conversation. I'm like, well, why did I accept that? I don't get it. I don't get it at all. I don't understand it.
DeAndre Hopkins has been championing a look like that. J.J. Watt's been championing a look like that, too.
He has. We got
to
text them.
Might have to grill him on that.
The Texans have had the worst uniforms for years. They look like they were designed by Matt Schaub. What makes you think Matt Schaub's a bad dresser?
He'd be kind of built toast, you know.
I don't have a huge issue with the uniforms. I like the helmet, but Paul has convinced me that the uniform could use an update, and this one was a very minor tweak. I feel like I just went into the app store on my iPhone, and I updated my apps, and there's no change at all.
The problem is it's a classic look. I don't get people who think it's ugly or hate it or anything. I mean, there's nothing that stands out about it. Now, if they did do something kind of cutting edge, you got to be prepared. Like, okay, 50% of the people are going to hate it, especially the olds like me. I'm officially an old now. I would see it. I'd be like, oh, balderdash. That is an atrocity. Look at it's an affront to my good senses. And it's downright lewd is what it is. Do you see that bulge? Yeah, but it would be cutting edge and people would like it. The people that matter, the youngs.